Let's join our Pastor Randy as he ministers from the sermon, God is Still Looking for Us to Be Real.
Greetings, one and all. I'm from the country, Somerset. My mother was a pastor for over 30 years. So I knew, right from wrong, I was brought up to serve God. But I chose to go my own way. And I suffered terrible for it. But I thank God that I've had a road to Damascus experience. And I've rededicated my life and my heart to God so that God's will can be done in my life. My name is Brother Randy Lightbourne. Join me as I share the word of God.
This topic today, I actually put it together almost a month ago, but I want to call it what Reverend in Training, Creta, called her message last week. I'm so tempted to change it to that topic. That topic last week was Don't Shoot the Messenger. That was Reverend in Training's message. Don't shoot the messenger. So I'm going to let that be part of my topic today. Don't shoot the messenger. But God is still looking for us to be real. God is still looking for us to be real. Holiness. Holiness. Mercy. Let's read these key verses that I have. It's a couple key verses I want to read, and then we get right into the message. Isaiah 1, verses 18 and 19. Here beginneth the reading of the word of God. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the gourd of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter 2, 20 and 21. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome by this, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Don't shoot the messenger. This is what God has laid on my heart, and I take it very seriously because in this message, in these types of messages, they can be offensive to some people who are not ready to hear. And I thank God that when I was given this message, I was able to look within myself and see what I need to do to make sure that I'm real. Because this is what God wants. This topic says God still wants us to be real. He's not interested in people acting saved. He's not interested in people sounding saved. He's interested in people that have got a relationship with him. There is a scripture that says that Jesus will say one day, depart from me, I never knew you. And these people will claim to have done all types of stuff in Jesus' name. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me. Not that I don't know you. I never knew you. And we want to guard ourselves because we have a Lord that loves us, a loving Savior that has given us his more sure word so that it can guide us, it can protect us, and it can help keep us in line. So that when this word does come forward, to some it may be offensive. Don't shoot the messenger. Take the message for what is in it for you. Because God has given his word for you personally to take it and to rightly divide it so that it strengthens you and takes you to the next level that God would have you to be in his walk. I have 2 points that I want to use to bring forward this word today. Point one, very disturbing. God is sickened when you are not real. It sickens God when he sees you there and he knows that you're not real. Point two, God really wants us to repent and be real. Holy. He wants the holiness. Yes, he's sickened when you're not real. But he's open and ready to restore you if you genuinely just repent and seek to be real. He's not going to hold it against you. Something's going on with you when you're to a point that you're sickening God because you're not real. Somewhere along the way, you're drifted from shore. You're no longer holding on to that anchor that should be keeping your soul. You're still in a place of worship. You're still going to church. You're still looking the part. You're still even maybe sounding the part. But what I'm talking about, it's when you're really not real. And that's not for me to judge. Because in most cases, we won't know. But this is between you and God. When you're not where you should be, it sickens God. Because he's provided so that you never have to be in a position where you're not real. Where every time you come before his presence, you can be real. Real doesn't mean that you're perfect. Real doesn't mean that you've got some great ministry going on and some great work. Real just means that you're being real between you and God. And if you're being real between you and God, it's going to overflow into some other stuff in your area, other areas of your life that's going to reveal your real relationship with God. Praise the Lord. Let's look at point number one. Point one, God is sickened when you are not real. And I'm going to deal with some scripture. I'm going to bring out some scripture that shows you how much God knows what's going on. God knows exactly where you are. That's why we have these scriptures. And you'll see that he loves you. That's why he exposes it. He exposes that it's there. And then he gives a word by our messenger so that you can get clarity on where you are and get in place with him without it being exposed to anybody else. He gives you his word so you can take it and get yourself in order. Isaiah chapter 1. This is how the book of Isaiah starts out. Mercy. This is starting at verse 10. Verse 10 says, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, and give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Now, this terminology we know from Genesis, Sodom, and Gomorrah. But if you are more spiritually aware of this terminology, you would realize that it's used a lot specifically in Revelation. But this Sodom and this Gomorrah is another spiritual term for Jerusalem, for Israel. So that's who he's talking about. Ye rulers of Sodom, ye people of Gomorrah. He's talking about the Israelites. Verse 11 says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? What's the purpose of it? Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs, or of he goats. Now, those of us that know the word of God know that all these terms that he just gave, the burnt offerings, and that he's full of the burnt offerings, and he has no delight in the blood of bullocks. He, being God, instituted this stuff to the Israelites. They're not doing something that they just want to do. They are doing what they have been told and asked of God. But God saying that, I have no delight in your burnt offerings. Verse 12 says, when ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to dread my courts, bring no more vain obligations. Incense is an abomination unto me. And just so that we're clear, this incense has always been tied to the scriptural as prayers. Their prayers is an abomination unto me. God is saying, the new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. I can't stand it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Revelation 3 and 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. God has a standard. I want to get this clear out. So God has a standard, and he knows where you are really at. I've got one more scripture I want to read first, just to highlight this, because this 2 Peter 2 is very important in helping us to understand. Because Peter says, listen, it's talking, and all of this, all of these scriptures that I've read are talking about saved people. I'm talking about people who claim or really have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who are Christians. 2 Peter 2 says, but if these people, that verse says, but if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, they have escaped Satan's clutches, by being saved through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. That's a big statement. That's a big statement. It's saying it's better for you to have never been saved if you were saved, and then you allow yourself to be entangled. I said just now, God has a standard. And God knows exactly where you are really at. Don't worry about who you're fooling in church by looking and sounding saved. I'm not interested in none of that. I'm not even here to judge it. I'm not interested in it. All I'm here to do is give you a word from God, because God has put this word here so that you will judge yourself according to God's word. God knows where you are. Second Peter says, listen, it's better if you never got it. Jesus tells, I think it's in Luke 11. It says, when an unclean spirit is taken out from a person, it goes and it wanders in the land looking for somewhere to take over. And after a while, when it can't find nobody, it says it comes back to that person. Okay? That demon spirit, whatever spirit was in you, causing you problems, when you relieve yourself of it, when you are cleansed of it, the spirit goes only for so long. And Jesus said the scripture, in scripture, in Luke 11, 24, 25, 26, that demonic spirit will eventually come back to you. He'll come back looking for you. And when he comes back and finds that you're clean and that you're living right, he's going to go and get seven other worse spirits to come in so that he can come back into your life. they made a movie called The Exodus, and it would show this young woman that was demon-possessed, which is possible, demon-possessed, but they would show also that this demon would go up into the closets, go into the attic, and throw around furniture and bang and make all types of noise. I want you to know that these demons are not interested in shaking closets in the attic. They're not interested in throwing around furniture. They're interested in gathering you and destroying your mind, throwing around your mind, throwing around your understanding. That's what they're really interested in doing. That's why Peter says that the person that gets saved and turns back, it's going to be worse for them than if they never had known the truth. Jesus is standing at the church door in some places and asking these people that are claiming to be saved to let me in. Revelation 3 and 20. What I'm talking about is realness. Thanks. Realness. When I talk about the act we put on every day when we go outside and we put aside our feelings and put aside what's really going on in our lives and we put our professional faces on, whether it's in our job or in our neighborhood, and we act, you know, because it isn't nobody else's business. So we go and we act like everything's okay. But God knows exactly where you're at. And he wants you to be real. He tells the Israelites, listen, why are you coming and singing songs and bringing sacrifices and doing stuff that people do if they're really living right? You're doing it, but this stuff is sickening to me because you're not in the right place. You're not where you should be. So this solemn feast and this assembling that you're coming together, I don't get pleased by it because you are coming here, but you're not serious about a relationship with me. You're just going through the motions. I'm telling you this because wherever you are, wherever level you are in your walk of God, God knows exactly where you're at. Even in the parable of the seed that is thrown on the ground, seed by the wayside, seed that gets caught up in the cares of life and stuff, but the seed that is good in the good ground seed, even that seed is at 30. God says that those ones that are doing it right, some are still at 30%, some at 60%, and some at 100%. So I'm saying to you today that God knows where you are. And he gives this word so that he can take you to your next level. He wants to take you to your next level. Wherever that next level is, he'll reveal it to you. But be assured, you can fool everybody else. But God knows exactly where you're at. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 1 again, verses 14 and 15. It says, your continuous, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hated. Listen to the grammar that's being used in here as God is talking about children of God. They are a trouble unto me, and I am tired of them. I am weary to bear them. These things that should be done, they should be done. But because you're not in the right place, it sickens me. My soul hated them. Verse 15 says, and when ye spread forth your hands, what? I will hide my eyes from you. When you put up your hands in prayers, when you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. I'm saying all this to say that God is saying to Israel, listen, I'm tired of this make-believe stuff. I need you to be real. You're putting your hands up, and I hide my eyes. I don't even want to see it. This is your opportunity to bring praise to God. God don't want fake praise. God wants a person that is sincere in his prayers. God will put you in a place where you want to praise him. You need to know who God is so that you praise him in sincerity. Those new moons and those appointed feasts, those rituals and those things we do every Sunday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever nights we have stuff going on at church. If we're not in the right place, God is hiding his eyes from us raising our hands in prayers, and then we pray, he can't even hear us. You're not fooling God. You can fool everybody else. You're not fooling God. Let's continue on. Genesis 18. Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I know what's going on down in that Sodom and Gomorrah. I will go down off and see the clearer, whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come up unto me. And if not, I will know. This is God letting you know that your ways, whoever you are, wherever you are, comes up to him. It's a cry that comes up, and the sin is very grievous. And God checks on it to see where you're at. Look at 2 Peter again, chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, for it had been better for them, okay, not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. It's better for you never to have known who Jesus is as your Lord and Savior than to know it and turn back to it, to allow those demons back in your life with the seven other demons to make you worse off than when you was before you got saved. Your sinful ways are in God's face. It comes up. It's in God's face. Believe that. Your sinful ways are in God's face. Your prayers, your prayers can be an abomination to God. An abomination to God. Offensive to God. Who are you praising with your hands in the air when all week you're doing something else? You can't come into my house and act holy. You need to be holy every day. I always go back to Reverend Lou Sunya. Reverend Lou Sunya used to say it, and I remember this going way back in the 80s, 80. Who was his 81, 82? And I heard him say it one day. It's not how high you jump on Sunday that God is interested in. It's how straight you walk on Monday and Tuesday that impresses God. And that has never left me, even at that young age when I heard it. It's never left me. God is saying that that prayer is an abomination to me if you're not truly living for me. Don't come to church and act this way. Be this way. This is in scripture. Don't shoot the messenger. This is what God has put in his word, because this is what's going on. It was going on way back then. Nothing new under the sun. We got more temptations. Listen, I'm convinced that this time that we live in now is the most hardest time to be a child of God. Temptation is at every step of the way. There was a time, even in the empires, temptation was over there. Temptation was over there, outside that house, down in Sodom and down in Gomorrah. But we live in a time where temptation is right on your phone through social media. Everything can come right into your house. Temptations come right into your house. This word that God put to Isaiah is more relevant today than it was back then. Let's look at Psalms 95, verses 8 to 11. It says, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. As you know, this provocation is a time when Israel was constantly provoking God to anger by their disobedience. What? Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me. They constantly tempted me. They constantly cried about this, cried about that. And then proved me. And then they saw my works. I provided for them. I gave them what they needed. I answered their prayers. Those want to say that 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. And then I said, It is a people that do always err in their heart, error in their heart. And they have not learned my ways. And because of this, unto whom I swear my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. While we are getting people apart, where we see it all, it's some real consequences when you're not living right. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verses 17 and 19. It continues to talk about them in Hebrews, these same people. Paul says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Who was he grieved with for those 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness because of their sinful ways? They didn't inherit. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. Whoa. Well, we are starting to see something else to appear. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. What? I've spoken on this before about believing. They lose where they're going. They lose their inheritance because of unbelief. Your obedience to God's word reveals really your real belief. If you're obedient, it's going to reveal how you really believe. Those in the wilderness tempted God because they didn't really believe. You can say it. We can claim it today. I've said it in a message before that demons believe and they even tremble. But then I got the right belief. Then I got the belief that causes you to be what God would have you to be. There are many people believe that there is a God, but not to the extent that it's going to cause them to be obedient to God. Why was these Israelites lost? In the end, scripture says that they were lost because of unbelief. You got to have a real belief in God that's going to cause you to deal with whatever you got to deal with in your life. That's between you and God. That's between you. Bring it to him. Whatever your hang up is, whatever your hold up is. And tell him, Lord, I know that you are real. I know what you expect of me. Help me to get past this. This is what's going to make the difference in your life. Because everything else, when you raise your hands, is abomination to him. When you pray, he don't hear you. He's looking for us to be real. He's still looking for it today. Let's go on to point number two. Because I want to, as much as I'm revealed to you today, that God is weary. That God turns away from when you're doing all the ritual things, traditional things, in terms of church and going to church and sounding hood and stuff. It sickens him if you're not in the right place. Point two shows you that God loves you. God really wants us to repent and be real, to be holy. This is what he wants. And he wants it so much that he continues to provide a messenger like myself. Don't shoot me. It's just a message from God to take you from where you are to where he would have you to be. Isaiah 1, verses 16 to 19. Listen to how God talks about how much he loves you. It says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to be evil. You might not think it. You might not be doing it before other people's eyes. Nobody else might not know what you're doing in the corner, in the closet. But it's before God's eyes. Cease to do evil. 17 says, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Get into God's work. Come now and let us reason. Let's make a decision together. Let's come to some understanding, say the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, red stained scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the bread of the land. What? 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, if my people, this is the sad, this is not those that don't know Jesus. If my people, which are called by my name, shall just humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Be real and seek my face. Then they've got to repent, turn from their wicked ways. That I will hear from heaven. I'm not going to hide my ears no more. I'm not going to turn away. I'm going to hear from heaven, and I'm going to forgive their sin and heal their land. What? God will forgive you no matter how stained you are, stained your sins are, okay? If you really and genuinely just repent. Nobody else don't know. Nobody else don't have to know. God says, I see your sins. Cease from doing evil. Be real, and I'm going to make you eat the good of this land. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you really effective for me in this ministry that you're involved in. I want you to be a real Christian. I want to take you to the next level. I don't want you raising your hands on Sunday and then Monday doing a pack of ignorance. Because I know that when you're raising your hands on Sunday, you've got no intentions of changing what you're going to do Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You're not fooling me. Be real. If you're not in the right place, this might be hard to hear, but hear it because God loves you. He tells you that though your sins be as scarlet, I'll clean you. If my people will just repent, I'll hear from heaven. And I'll fix whatever needs to be fixed in your life. Whatever your hang on. Whatever you think you can get rid of, if you genuinely give it to God, he'll heal you. He'll heal you. He'll kick those demons out. He'll renew you. He'll restore you. He just said, you just got to be real. You just got to be real. Don't worry about faking it to anybody else. Be real. I know where you're at. Your sins come up before my face. So when you raise your hands, I'm not impressed if your heart is not right. I told you I'm on the outside. I'm on the outside knocking, asking for you to let me in. I'm not forcing my way in. You have to open that door and let me in. Mercy, God. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 1 once again. Isaiah 1 verses 15 and 20. It says, and when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. What? This is where we're getting to the point where God said, listen, if you don't do what you need to do, there will be some consequences at the end of the day. Look at Psalms 101, verses 4 and 7. God says, a forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Who the shoe fits, or my body says, who the cat fits, let him wear it. God is speaking because he loves you. He's calling you out from wherever you're at. It's between you and him, wherever you're at. Just know that a forward heart shall depart from me. I'm not going to know a wicked person. You need to be serious. Acting doesn't deceive God. It deceives everybody else but God. God wants you to be real. Many churches claim that they can. You know, a lot of people don't want to get involved in this holiness churches and this holiness sanctification talk because they say, look, we can't live that type of life. But they need to know that we can't live that type of life. I can't live that sanctified life. I can't live a holy life. It's impossible. I need the more sure word of God. I need what Jesus said just before he died. He breathed on them and said, listen, receive the Holy Ghost, because that's what's going to keep you holy. That's what's going to help you to be holy. That's what's going to help you to keep those evil things out of your life. That's what's going to help you to go to the next level. That's what's going to talk and tell you about me. We are holy because of God's Holy Spirit in us that enables when we continue to sacrifice our time and our effort to be like what God would have us to be. We're not interested in using energy, faking it. We want to make it by taking on God's word. We need to take it on. God will judge your ways. And I need this to be understood. God will judge your ways, even while we are still on earth. Spiritual intimacy with God gets lost when you're not living right. Satan is the only one happy when you're in that state. Satan smiles when he sees you in church, clapping your hands, praising God, like you said, and he knows that tomorrow you'll be back in the crew. You'll be back slipping and sliding and doing foolish. He's the only one happy. God ain't looking at this praise. Satan's the only one loving that praise. Because Satan knows that you're not real. Sure as God knows that you're not real. Let God be real. Experience that power in your life because God will judge it. God said, I'm not going to know a wicked person. I'm not going to know a forward heart. I want you to be humble. If my people that are called by my name would just humble themselves and seek my face, I will enable them. I will take you from where you're at, whatever you're struggling at, and bring you to that next level. You just got to be real. That's what God's looking for you, from you. My last scripture today is in Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 10 to 12. Mercy. God has a plan. God is continuously talking about and about through Paul using the Israelites as an example. He says in verse 10, wherefore was I grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Why are they continually erring in their heart? Because they don't know my ways. God saying, because of this, so I swear in my wrath that they will not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. There's a warning in her. Who was he grieving? To what generation was he grieving for 40 years? It was because of these people that didn't do what God would have them to do. And God said that they will depart. They will not enter into my rest. They will not get the blessings that God has. They will not inherit. Depending on where you are, you will not inherit the kingdom of God altogether. Or even if you do make it into the kingdom of God, but because you're not giving yourself to God 100%, you don't want to get involved in the ministry. You don't want to do the extra mile that God is calling you to do. You're going to lose out in your gold, silver, and precious stones. Because all the other stuff you're doing are going to burn up on your way to heaven. You'll still make it to heaven. But because you're not giving yourself, you're not giving that talent God gave you to his ministry. You're not letting your pastor use you. You're not getting involved in the ministry because you want to do what you want to do. You don't want to go to the extra mile. God says they will not enter into my rest. They will not get the full inheritance. He ends it by saying, take heed lest there be in any of you this type of unbelief that's going to cause you to depart from a living God. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31 says, and the times of this ignorance, this is Paul speaking to these guys who were considered the intellectuals at that day, the philosophers and the teachers that were in these Greek mind thinkers. He says to them, and the times of this ignorance that you guys indulge in now, God winked at. But now he commanded every man and woman everywhere to repent. He's not winking at it no more. He's not letting it slide because he has appointed, God has appointed a day in the which he will judge this whole world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, Jesus. Whereof he had given assurance unto all men in that he had raised him from the dead. Paul's ministering to them and letting them know that, listen, you continue to do what you're doing. For God is weak, but God holds every man to the account that they need to repent. Because it's going to be a judgment. You're going to have to answer. You can fake it in church. Only Satan is happy. God is turning his head from your hands. He's not listening to your prayers if you're not sincere. And he will judge you at the end of it. Lastly, let's look at Jude chapter 1, verses 24, 25. Jude 1, 24 and 25. This is what we are got to keep in our mind. Jude says, now unto him, now unto Jesus, who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless, real, to present you as a real person before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I want you to stop and really step back and envision what's being said here. You will one day be presented before the presence of the glory of God, and you want to be able to do it with exceeding joy. Because you fought a good fight, you kept your faith, and you've been real. Jude is saying, hey, listen, I'm giving you over to him that is able to keep you from falling, keep you from being weak, keep you from being make-believe, keep you from being Satan's vessel. But to be in a place where you are able to be presented before God, one day we will all stand before God and give an account of our lives. Verse 25 says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. God will not poke around unholy people. He stands at the door knocking if you're not in the right place. He wants you to go to the next level in your walk with him. It's constantly about this. As long as we are in this earth, it's constantly about the Holy Spirit taking us to our next level of usership for Christ. We're here as vessels to be used of God. He won't use you if you're not real. He won't use you if you're not seeking holiness in your life. He said, though your sins, though whatever your hang-ups are, be as stained as crimson blood, I'll make them like snow. Understand that. I will make them as snow if you surrender your life to me. If you really seek me. God is able to fix you through his Holy Spirit. Let's seek to be real today. Starting out right is not enough. We must finish right. Second Peter touches that. It's better that you didn't start out right if you're going to end up wrong. Many people start out right in life. You can see them, doctors, lawyers, whatever. They start out right, and then you find out later on that they was embezzling money, that they was a pedophile, that they was some type of freak, whatever. But their sin is later exposed, and all that prestige they had prior is gone. Starting out right is not enough. All of us in this walk are heading and looking for the finish. The finish is what matters. Let God renew you. Repent where you need to repent. Surrender to God and let God enable you to be what he would have you to be. My last comment is holiness is still what God wants. Be real. Be real. That's my message to you today. Don't shoot this messenger. Please, don't shoot the messenger. R.I.T. Lord, Peter paved the way for this message last week, and I thank God for it. God loves you so much. He's knocking at that door. This is for saved people. Get it right with God. Let him take you to the next level in your walk. He's waiting. All this other stuff is not fooling him. He told Isaiah to tell them Sodom and Gomorrah, spiritual Jerusalem and Israel, that you're not fooling me. I come down and check. He said it in Genesis. I went down to Sodom and Gomorrah to get a closer look to what was coming on. This is not a fake it till you make it program. This is a surrendering to a Lord and Savior that will change your life. I'm a living example. I was born up to know God. I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I did it. But when I made up my mind that I'm going to surrender my life to a real God, God put me in situations where there was no doubt in my mind that he was real. And from that, I had enough intellect to understand that, what? This Lord is real. I could feel him deep in my soul. I know the difference he's made in my life. Every day, in every way, he continues to reveal to me who he is. And the more he reveals to me who he is, I don't got to worry about what nobody else thinks. I'm not going to worry about what everybody else is doing. I need to know where I really stand with him. Because once I know where he is, I see how weak I am. I see how much I need him. And it helps me to be real. It helps me to cry out because I know that I'll gravitate to myself. I'll gravitate to my old ways. That there are many old demons waiting to come back and to destroy my life. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll show you who he is and who you really are. And it will make you be humble. It'll make you come before the house of God and give a genuine praise. Sunday to Sunday. When you're in your bathroom, you'll give a praise. When you're in your house, you'll give a praise. When you think of the goodness of God. When you think of the goodness of God, you'll give a genuine praise. Let God make the difference in your life today. Let him take you to that next level. This is the message that God has given me today for us. Be encouraged and use it to take you to the next level. Don't worry about where you are. Let him take you to the next level. It's got blessings in store for your life. This is an opportunity now for those that don't know Jesus. You're not done it yet. You haven't gave your heart to God yet. This is an opportunity that I bring forward to you today. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm not calling you. There is a Holy Spirit that's whispering in your heart. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus right now. Okay? He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. If Jesus is whispering to you via the Holy Spirit to surrender your life, please repeat these words after me and get to know Jesus for yourself. Hallelujah. Father God, I realize that I am a sinner. God, I realize that I am lost. Lord, I realize today that you love me and that you have a plan for my salvation. That God, you have provided a way of escape from the penalty of sin that is in my life. Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I repent of all my sins. I accept you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Praise the Lord. If any of you have made this statement with me and you have genuinely surrendered your life to God, please reach out to us via the information that we'll be sharing on the on screens. And let us continue to see it in your life spiritually to be of encouragement to you. But know that if you're genuinely done it, God is in your life. Your sins are forgiven. You have access into the eternal life. And God has a plan for your life starting today. This is what God has laid in my heart. Those that this message was sent to, be encouraged. Know that God loves you. He said, though your sins, though your hang-ups, though your shortcomings be as rare as crimson, I'll forgive you if you just repent. Be willing to start from right now and go forward and let God take you to that next level, because he stands at the door knocking of your heart seeking for you to be drawn to him. This is the message God has given me. I pray God's blessings and strength of everyone that's heard it in the name of Jesus.